I just have something short I'd like to read to you from Luke chapter 5. Luke 11, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 11. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples said. So Jesus taught the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer, really, because he was teaching the disciples to pray it. And you all know it. You've said it many times. You've probably, if you've been at camp, the earlier part of the summer, that's the text that the preachers go to. This theme is prayer. Well, what better place to jump off from than the Lord's Prayer? And it is a good place. Well, we're not going to read it tonight, but right after the Lord's Prayer, as he teaches them, in verse 5, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and he will give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, a simple story that Jesus told that you've read many times before. But I thought of it when I thought of this meeting tonight, the pre-meeting before the deluge. I thought, well, now, we have some friends coming tomorrow to visit camp. Now, maybe we could even say we have some friends that have come yesterday or the day before to visit camp, or that are here tonight. We're all friends, aren't we? I don't think anybody else but you, Sister Mary, is kind of sure about this. We're all friends, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, now every friend here tonight, we've got friends that have come, have we not?
Yes.
I got a friend from California. I got another friend. I got a bunch of friends from California. I got friends from Maryland that have come. I got friends from Hong Kong that have come. And I've got friends from New York and New Jersey and all around the place. I got friends that have come. And you have friends that have come. Jesse, you have any friends that have come?
Yeah,
you got friends too. See that? We all have friends that have come. And here Jesus says, okay, we got friends. Or the story goes, the guy says, I got friends that are coming. But then he says, but I got to feed them. I got to feed my friends. Well, that's what you do when friends come over. You feed their face. Sometimes that's why you have friends, because you're a good cook, because you got a lot of food in the pantry. My kids had friends that came over the house when my kids were younger. Now it's my kids that come over the house. And sometimes I noticed my kids' friends going through my closets to take out the snacks. Why did you come to my house? Because you like my kids or you like my snacks? I had to wonder sometimes. I think it was they like my kids and my snacks. We've got friends that have come or are coming tomorrow. And let me tell you this, every one of you, we have nothing. We have nothing to give them. If you'd agree with me, we have nothing to feed them. Oh, no, you're wrong. Now, I know Sister Diane and Brother Peter and Brother Eric and all the others. I know that these counselors and the head counselors in particular have a lot to give to these kids. They've got everything organized. Sister Diane has songs planned. She has all these lessons and good ways to teach the lessons so the 6 to 7 to 8 year olds can grasp the lessons. And I know Brother Peter and Brother Eric have a lot to offer. They're going to have, you're having Survivor? You're going to survive this again? I mean, this is, it's amazing. They've got it all. They've got so much to give to these kids. You can get that at the Boy Scout camp. You can get that at Point of Pines for another $18,000. Or whatever. We can give them a whole lot. I asked Brother Eric, I said, you got one of those songs up your sleeve like you had last year? He says, as a matter of fact, I do. Can't wait for Sunday to come. If you're going home before Sunday, I'd suggest you find a place to make a reservation and stick around. It's worth it. Just to be in the meeting on Sunday, to hear the boys sing. But anyway, that's free. That's extra. But we've got people coming or people that have come, and we have really nothing. I mean, what's camp for? What's camp all about? Why are you here at Watch Rock so that you can play shuffleboard? There are better shuffleboard courts. There are hardly worse shuffleboard courts. Did you ever play ping pong down there? The ball hits the thing in the top every time. Enough already. People don't, I know the lake is beautiful, and I know maybe people come for the lake or whatever it is. I think we all know that the reason Pilgrim Camp is here, and the reason why in 1946 it was founded and every year since, it's not to give anybody shuffleboard or good food in the palace or Survivor games or a nice craft. No, not in the village, just in the cottage. The whole idea behind camp, from cottage to all the way up to Watch Rock, is we need to give people Jesus. We need to give boys and girls Jesus. I wouldn't be satisfied as a counselor if after 2 weeks the boys talk about what a great time we had and it was so wonderful and we caught 6 fish in the lake and we just, that's nice, that's good. But we've not hit the target. We failed in the mission if all we've given them is a good 2 weeks away from home. We need to give them, and we will give them, bread. We will give them Jesus. But here, as Jesus tells the story, the guy says, friends have come over. I don't have anything. I have to go get bread myself so that I can have bread so that I can give it to somebody else. He has just finished telling his disciples, pray this way. Give us this day, our yearly supply of bread. You don't get bread by yearly supply. You didn't get bread by weekly supply. That's not what the prayer says. Give us this day our daily bread. So the songs might be prepared and the lessons are prepared, and that's all good and it needs to be prepared ahead of time. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what we all need, and if you're a kitchen pot boy or dish boy, or if you're working on the grounds, or if you're a housekeeper, you still got friends. We all got friends. If you're a guest, you got friends. And if you came as a guest with no friends, I'll be your friend if you want me. Or you'll make other friends. Some of them may speak with an accent. It's okay. Get past it. Be their friend. If you want friends, show yourself friendly, but then give bread to your friends. That's what you and I want to do when we get to meetings. I'm talking about here in Watch Rock. It's not Brother Ernie's meeting. It's not your meeting. It's not their meeting. Lord, it's a meeting where you want to feed us. Give us. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe every counselor's meeting should have a prayer somewhere along the line. Every staff devotion in the morning. Maybe every Watch Rock meeting. Maybe your personal devotions. So somewhere along the line say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. The kids are coming tomorrow. We're bombarded. We're overwhelmed. But Lord, today I got to have a supply. Tomorrow it's going to be moldy. But Lord, I want a fresh supply. Give me my bread, so that I might have the wherewithal to give to somebody else who's famished, who's in need. You know, there are cottagers that are coming. I don't know anybody in particular. I don't even know who's coming in the cottage. Maybe if I thought, oh, I could think of a few that I know. But I don't know all these 19 children that are going to be there. But I dare say there's somebody 6 years, 7 years, 8 years old that'll be coming to camp tomorrow, and they're starving. They may have more money than all of us put together. I mean, their parents. They may have the latest of every fashion that you can think of. They may go to the hoity-toity schools and not the cheaper stuff. But they're famished. They're starving because they have no bread. Why spend money, Isaiah says, why spend money for that which is not bread? What's he talking about? Well, you can spend money on a lot of things, and you can buy a lot of things, and you can have a... And there's nothing wrong with spending money on a lot of things if you have a lot of money to spend on a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with having a lot of whatever you have. But if you have no bread, you're going to die. And there are boys and girls that are dying or are going to die. And you have the responsibility as a counselor to give them bread. But I don't have anything to give them. I could give them a piece of my mind. I can give them a little, show them a little love. No, they're not, give them bread. But Lord, where do I get that from? Well, I think Jesus says to us, does he not, in John chapter 6, right after he fed the thousands of people there on the hillside, and then you remember when the disciples were questioning him, he said to them, I am the bread of life. And if you eat this bread that I'll give you, you'll never die. If you don't eat this bread or drink this cup, you have no life in you. And there are villagers and there are Natick and Nonantum kids that are coming tomorrow. I can almost guarantee it. And they have no life in them. Oh, they may be full of life in the wrong way. You'll find that tomorrow. They may have a lot of life, but maybe they have no spiritual life, just bios, no Zoe. But they need spiritual life. They need bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But first of all, I need to go to Jesus. And I need to say, Lord, I can't give them anything. I grew up in church. I know Bible verses. I can teach them songs. But Lord, only you can feed them. And only, Lord, you can give me the help that I need to be a conduit, just to be what you'd want me to be, just to be your mouthpiece, just to be your hand extended, just to be, Lord, help me to be that which you can use to give to these boys bread. Bread that will sustain them, bread that will enable them to be alive and to live. Give us this day our daily bread. We come to a table like this tonight in just a few moments. Why do we have communion? What's it all about? There's so many, several different reasons for communion. There's the unity thing, one bread, one cup, we drink, we eat, we're one body. And if you don't discern the Lord's body, there's those that are sick and sleep among you. That's part of it. There's another part of it in that we take that piece of bread, matzah, and we put it into our mouths. But when Jesus instituted it, symbolically, he said, this is my body. This is me. This is me. And it's just a reminder that I take Jesus or his life, the bread, and I assimilate Jesus into me. I put it in my mouth. I chew it. I swallow it. And then that nourishes me. I know, a little, it's not going to nourish you for very long. Some of you won't nourish at all. But you understand the symbolism, so do I. We feed on him. We eat his flesh. because we want life in us. Back in Exodus chapter 12, when Moses instituted the Passover, and he said, now we got to shed the blood and put that. And that we talked about or sang about it earlier. Yes, we need the blood. But then the second part of the Passover, it wasn't just all the blood. It was, okay, now guys, you take the lamb, you get rid of the entrails, you get rid of this part and that part, and you eat the lamb. You eat the lamb. What is the lamb symbolic of? Well, it's Jesus, the Lamb of God. Yeah, you got to feed on that lamb, because there in Exodus, he says, because tonight you're going to have to go out and you're going to need some strength, and you're going to need the strength that the lamb is going to nourish you to go out and to get out of Egypt and to keep on going. Jesus offers to you, to me, to all of us, so that we can offer to our friends tomorrow and Wednesday, and Thursday, and every day, and here at camp, and back at home. But we need ourselves to eat, to continually have a feast, to be fat and flourish. I know that doesn't sound good to some of you, but it really is good. To be fat, I'm anything but to be fat and flourishing. Oh, dear Lord, would you feed us tonight? Because, you know, I don't know what goes on up in that waitress where you sleep. You sleep right up here, right? Sometimes we hear the hoofbeats or the footsteps. Not usually, very, very infrequently. Brother Gardner used to quiet that down by his own ways. I don't hear it, and if I heard it, I probably wouldn't do anything about it anyway, so don't worry. But, you know, hardly anybody gets up there except the waitresses. And the waitresses, if you don't know them, you'll get to know this. They don't want to be anybody's friend except the other waitresses. That's not true. They're friends to everybody. But there are sometimes up there in the waitress or where you're sleeping, or up in the lean-tos where the dish boys and groundsmen are. You know, there's ministry that can go on up there. There's a lot that can go on up there. I know. I've been up in there and I've been in those lean-tos. I know what goes on up in there. But there's ministry that goes on up in there. And I've known kids 16, 17, 18 years old that needed ministry. At Pilgrim Camp, they came to camp to work on staff. But they themselves needed bread. And they weren't getting it from Brother Gardner in those days when he stood here. They were in one ear and out the other. But they were more prone to be able to get the ministry that they needed from their friend. If their friend was willing to give them bread, if their friend had any bread to give them. Oh, you don't have to cooperate and go along with the flow, but maybe you can be the conduit of blessing and say, Jesus, use me. Help me to be an encouragement to him, to her. She's down. He's feeling bad today. He's having a bad, he just poured out his heart. Lord, I don't know what to do. Give them bread. Give them Jesus. Point them to him. There's much more to be said than we could say, but maybe the better thing to do would be to say, Lord, now here we come to your table, cleansed, ready to receive, eating your flesh, drinking your blood, so that when we leave this place tonight, we can go refreshed, not just because we had this, but because we're receiving Jesus. Jesus, you're what we need. You're what we want to give, and so help us, Lord, tonight to come in faith and to take and eat and to take and drink your body, your blood, Lord, that we might have the wherewithal, because I don't know what to give to anybody. I've got nothing to give to anybody. But Jesus, you can help me. You can help all of us. And so we avail ourselves to you and we pray, Lord, that we might receive, that we might receive. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask it for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen.